have with us some friends from Moline, Milton, I should say. We used to live in Moline, Michigan, moved to Milton, Ontario, back 51 years ago this last weekend. And during our 17 years of living there, we had the privilege of getting to know a lovely lady by the name of Helen Sclazizzi. She's seated right next to Adrian here. And her daughter, Erin, is seated next to her. And just 2 months ago, her dear husband, Enio, went to glory. And it's nice to be surrounding you again, Helen, in this time of great transition in your life. Yeah, her husband, Enio, was a hockey player, played in the NHL for many years ago for Detroit, for the Red Wings and other teams. But it's a wonderful thing to know that though life changes, Jesus remains the same, and we can trust Him fully. And in each one of our lives, as we've heard, as Art was telling, the different changes that are taking place among us here in this wonderful congregation at Maple Avenue, we recognize that in the midst of all of those changes, God is the same. And we've been singing about Him. Thank you, praise team, for this wonderful ministry preparing us for the Word. How many of you have a Bible today? May I see your Bible? Good. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 16. Tomorrow is Labor Day, when most people get to rest. But we celebrate labor. And the fact that that working and having a job is a wonderful thing. And did you know that Labor Day was made official here in Canada back in 1894? How many of you remember that year? It was a good year. That was the first official federal Labor Day in Canada, and the U.S. followed our example. It started here and went there. And it was in honor of people who know what it is to work honestly and to be productive in their lives. And that resonates with what the Bible is all about. God intends every one of us to be that way. And the Apostle Paul, as he wrote the book of 2 Thessalonians, was concerned that Christians would recognize it's important to have a job, to work, to be productive. And during his time in Thessalonica, it was just a few weeks that he was there establishing that church. But one of the things he taught them was this: Jesus is coming back again. And on that day, we're all going to be with Him in glory. Are you looking forward to that? Amen? 17 of you. Wonderful. Well, I hope the rest of you are ready as well. Jesus is coming again. In fact, we're now about 2,000 years closer to the time that He's coming than when He first said, "I will come again and take you to be with Myself." So every Christian ought to be excited every day when we wake up. This could be the day. But in the meantime, we are to be working. However, the people in Thessalonica said, "You know, wow, if Jesus is coming, maybe He's going to come soon. Why work? Let's find a rocking chair and let's enjoy the good life until He comes." That's why the Apostle Paul addressed this matter. Not that there's anything wrong with a rocking chair, but in combination with the work life. So notice what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle or lazy when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. And we did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Oh, listen to this. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some of you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen? Did you hear that message? Three times we find the word idle or lazy. God does not want his people to be lazy. He wants us to labor, to work. When God first created the universe, he worked and created. And then he placed Adam in the garden to work, as it says in chapter 2. He uses that word, to work and make that garden beautiful and to take care of it. And laziness came in when sin came in. And our sin nature makes us want to leave the work to somebody else. But when you think of Labor Day, I heard of a lady saying, oh, that was to celebrate all mothers who have given birth. And do you mind if I just give you some personal news? Look at there. That is a little baby born 2 days ago, and that is our first great-grandchild. That's our granddaughter, Laura. She's a nurse, and she and her husband, Ryan, he's a teacher, and they live out in Langley, British Columbia, and 2 days ago, that little baby was born, and they decided to give her, isn't that an interesting first name? Reese. Not Reese Witherspoon, but this is Reese Madeline Croker. And so that, we just got that picture last night. I thought you'd like to know that. Is that all right? But she went through 3 days of labor before that baby arrived on Friday. And God bless her. We guys, are you kind of glad you're a guy? God bless all of you ladies. How many of you ladies have given birth to a baby? Raise your hand. Wow, God bless you. And we thank you. How many of you had a mother? That's most of you. I'm sure you've thanked your mother for her labor to bring you into this world. But I want you to think with me a little more here about this matter of work. And if you have in your bulletin, you'll find a little sheet something like this. And maybe you'd like to take some notes that will help us to understand a little more what it means to honor Christ in our work. That's the intention of work, to bring glory to God. And in this introduction, I'd like you to notice this, that while we watch and wait for Christ's return, we are also called to work. So all three things should be happening: watching for his return, waiting patiently for his return, but working while we're watching and waiting. There are four things I'd like for you to think with me about this morning. First of all, Paul's exposure of laziness. He tells it like it is here. And then Paul's exhortation to labor. Let's do it. And then Paul's example of labor. And then we're also going to see Paul's expectations from labor. What happens as a result of our laboring? And if you'll go with me, please, here, I'd like for you to look first of all at Paul's exposure of laziness. Here's first of all the reality of laziness. He says it in verse 11, some of you are idle, you're lazy. The King James Version says some of you are disorderly. And three times in this passage he uses that word idle, verse 6, 7, and 11. And if you were to go over to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he deals with it as well. Notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. That's good counsel. And notice chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He speaks of it again here in verse 14. And he indicates that we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. But he starts out by saying, warn those who are lazy. And so the reality of laziness, yes, it's all around us, and how sad it is. The reasons for that laziness, what would that be? Well, a lack of understanding, maybe, that work is important. A lack of motivation, that our society's welfare system, and I might say this, and I say it carefully, but I think most of you will understand what I'm saying here. Our welfare system can sometimes tend to penalize the worker and reward the non-worker. And we'll think about that a little more in just a moment here. Then also, not only the reasons for laziness are a lack of understanding that God wants us to work and has made us to work, and a lack of motivation, I don't want to work, but simply a lack of obedience. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, he said this, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And so now is the time for us to be working. And notice also with me the results of laziness. In the book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4, it says, lazy hands make a man poor. And that's part of the result. Some of the results are, and you'll see it in our text of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, where it says this, if you don't work, you don't eat. That was the rule that the Apostle Paul spoke here. And God intends every one of us to work. Now, let me pause to say this. There are many in our society who, for one reason or another, whether physical or emotional or whatever, are not able to carry a productive job, in which case all of us who are able are called upon by the Lord to help them. But I do recall hearing a statement like this. Somebody said this, recently I was working in the flower beds in the front garden, and my neighbors stopped to chat as they returned home from walking their dog, and during our friendly conversation I asked their 12-year-old daughter what she wanted to be when she grows up, and she said she wanted to be Prime Minister of Canada one day, and both of her parents standing there were very pleased. So I asked her, if you were Prime Minister, what would be the first thing you would do? And she replied, I'd give food and houses to all the homeless people. And her parents beamed with pride. Wow, what a worthy goal, I said. But you don't have to wait until you're Prime Minister to do that, I told her. Oh, what do you mean, she replied. So I told her, you can come over to my house and mow the lawn and pull the weeds and trim my hedge, and I'll pay you $50. And then you can go down to the town center and find a homeless man and give him the $50 to buy food. The little girl thought for a few seconds. Then she looked me straight in the eye and asked, "Well, why doesn't the homeless man come over here and do the work and you can just pay him the $50? Well, it makes a point, doesn't it? Now, if the homeless man is able to work, that's good. Let's face the fact that there are many who are unable at this point to do so, and they do need our help. At Benton Street Baptist Church, where it was our privilege to pastor for 25 years, from 1978 to 2003, during these past years, it's been our privilege to, in the winter, to be one of seven churches in downtown Kitchener to be involved in a program called Out of the Cold. And every Tuesday night, it's been our pattern, from November into April, every Tuesday night, to provide a meal for those who are homeless in the streets of Kitchener. And we have a lot of them. In fact, we would have 150, 160 people coming to have a hot meal every Tuesday evening, and 50 or 60 of them staying overnight as we housed them on mattresses on the floor, and then a hot breakfast the next morning as they go out to the cold of another day. And many of those people do not have the capacity to be able to be productive in their work. Or they could if they had the instruction and help to do so. And we're grateful for programs that seek to help people like that to know how to work. But the results of laziness are a lack of food. And as we see in verse 10, or in verse 12, a lack of productivity. What did the Apostle Paul say? Settle down and earn your bread. Or a lack of satisfaction. Did you realize that laziness leads to boredom? It was Charles Kingsley who said, "Thank God every morning that you have something to do that day which must be done whether you like it or not. And being required to work and doing so to the best of your ability will breed in you the self-control, diligence, contentment, and 100 other virtues which the lazy person never knows." And there's another thing, another result of laziness. If we're not working productively, we're using our energies sometimes to do things that aren't helpful at all, such as meddling. Meddling in other people's business. Do you notice what it said in verse 11? They are not busy, they are busybodies. And that's a result of not working appropriately. Now, the Bible promises rewards to the worker, but no loaves to the loafer, as somebody said. In 1 Timothy 5:13, we read, "Tattlers also are busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 11 that we read a moment ago says, "Study to be quiet, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you." So as somebody said, idle hands are the devil's workshop, and that's one of the results of being lazy. But now I want you to see with me, secondly, Paul's exhortation to labor. First of all, he gives some negative commands. You'll see that in verse 6 of our text, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. He says, "Keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us." That means if you hang around lazy people, it's very possible you'll get the same disease and you'll get lazy as well, and as a result get in trouble. That's why it's so important to choose friends wisely. And if young people hang around people who are lazy, it's very easy then for them to not only get lazy, but fall into the negative aspects of life that many have become captured by. Notice what Paul says also in verse 14 of our text. He says, "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Yeah, laziness can be catching. I'm also delighted to say this, that there's a positive side, and industriousness, learning to work, can affect others who are attached to you. So they say, hey, he's doing well, I want to do that too. And I've already become aware of some of you in this congregation and young people, teenagers, who know what it is to work and to be productive. And God bless you all. May that be true for every one of you. Notice Paul's positive commands. He says in verse 12 here, he says, settle down and earn the bread you eat. And in verse 13 he says, do not weary in well-doing, as it says in the King James Version, or here in the NIV it says, never tire of doing what is right. In verse 6, he talks about the lazy person does not live according to the teaching you received. What he's saying here is that God's Word teaches us to be industrious, to be knowing what it is to work and to commit ourselves to positive productivity. I want you to see also Paul's example of labor. And we see that here in our text as well. Look at verse 7 and 8. He says, follow our example. He says in verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. And so Paul's example is such that he was giving himself to the work. He worked night and day. You'll see that same phrase again over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. And I've had the privilege, Adrian and I, this past week, of watching a whole bunch of people at Elam Lodge. Elam Lodge is a Christian conference center that's north of Peterborough. Some of you maybe have been there. It's something like MBC or Fair Havens Bible Conference. And during this past week, we have, Adrian and I, and our mentally challenged son Stephen was with us as we joined with many other families from all across Ontario in a family retreat sponsored by Christian Horizons and Johnny and Friends. Many of you know Johnny Erickson Tada. And she has been doing these conferences for families in the States for several years. And this was the first time last year that we did it. And here's a picture of our group this past week. And you'll see, now that's not all of them. We tried to get a group picture. That's as many as we got together. There were many more. And now this picture shows the folks that we call STMs, short-term missionaries. All of those people gave of themselves for that week. And if you go back to the back, the picture just before that, and I want you to see those folks who gave themselves to this ministry, paying their own way, and we put one of those people with each of the special needs children, which gave the parents some liberty and some relaxation and some to enter into some of the special programs we had for the parents while their children were in wonderful productive programs as well. And we just say a great big thanks to all those people. Now, you notice they're all wearing purple shirts with a message on it, but it's kind of hard to read it from there. So the next picture will show you one up close. And there it is. And that happens to be our son, Stephen. One of these Sundays, maybe we'll bring him along with us and you'll be able to meet Stephen. He's now 49, and 2 years after his birth, the Lord stirred our hearts to begin the ministry of Christian Horizons. And so he was the influence that God used to trigger that to happen. But notice the guy that's got his arm around him. That fellow's name is Dave Black. Dave is from Ottawa. And Dave has been with the OPP as an officer for 30 years. But he gave himself totally in this week to ministering along and being one-on-one with special needs children. He had a boat, and he pulled Steve in his boat in a tubing experience that Steve will think about for the rest of his life. But now I want you to see what's written on that shirt. It's from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, and all of our STMs wore this shirt. We are His workmanship. Would you quote that verse with me? Right there it is on the screen, the whole verse. Let's say it together. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now get the picture here. Here's where the gospel comes in. Many of you know the two verses preceding Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works, lest any man should boast." And it goes on to tell us that we have been saved. We are God's workmanship. And as I look at each one of you, you are a special work of God. Thank the Lord for that. The Greek word for workmanship is poem. Can you say that? Poem. Now that sounds like a word you've said often, isn't it? Poem. In fact, that's the word. You are God's poem. When you think of a poem, you think of somebody working at putting words together in a beautiful, unique way like nobody's ever done before. And that's what God has done with you, taking not just words, but with His word, taking you and putting you all together in a way that is different from anybody else in all the world. What beautiful workmanship He has made. And when we receive Christ as Savior and receive His gift of salvation, we remember this, that it cost God everything. His Son, who came to do the work of redemption by dying for us on the cross. By the way, have you said thank you recently? Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for being the sacrifice for my sin on the cross to make me a child of God. And if you have received that wonderful gift of salvation, you are now His workmanship. And by the way, He's still working on me, and He's still working on you, and applying all of that grace that Jesus purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. And now, we are God's workmanship. We didn't pay the price for our sins. We couldn't save ourselves. He did that. But now that we are saved, He has given to us capacities, physically, mentally, spiritually, that He wants us to use. We have now been created in Christ Jesus for what purpose? To do good works. There's the labor. And that's what God wants us to do. I want you to see with me Paul's expectations from labor. And notice this. What's the result of our having been good laborers and workers? Well, in our text, one of the things is food. You'll see that here. Verse 10 and 12. Talk about that. Look at verse 10. "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he should not eat. But if you do work, you eat." And look at verse 12. "Such people we command and urge the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." God does not want us, secondly, to be a burden to others. And if we have the capacity to work and to be self-supporting, in fact, sufficient so that we can help others, that's what God's called us to be, and not to be a burden to others. Here's another expectation from labor, these rewards, and that is productivity. As we see in verse 12, "Settle down and earn." And not only that, but we win respect of outsiders. Verse 12 says, "So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And one of the ways we can be a blessing to other people around us, our neighbors and those who know us, whether it's in school or wherever it is, to see that we are being productive, there is a respect that comes as a result. Not only that, satisfaction. You'll see that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 4. It says this, "The sluggard, or the lazy person, craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." And here's another result, an expectation from being a productive laborer. It glorifies God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, glorify God that way." And it brings glory to our wonderful Lord. May I suggest even one more thing here? An expectation from as a result of labor, and that is we're not going to be ashamed at His coming. This is what 1 John 2 verse 28 says, "Continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming." And are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? Is He going to find you watching and waiting and working? May it be true. And those of you who are students going into school this week, that's your job. God bless you as you do that. One of our sons, when he finished high school, he was wrestling with whether or not to go on that year to college or not. And one day he came to us just a few days before school would start. And he said, "I've decided to stay home this year." I said, "Okay, if that's the Lord's will for your life. But I want you to know this, you now have a full-time job, and that full-time job is to seek a job." 2 days later, he signed up for college. So whatever your job is, may God help you to do it with all of your heart, with holy enthusiasm. And as we close, I want you to think of this. Beware of becoming a lazy Christian. May I encourage you to be enthusiastic about honoring Christ with all your energy. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Worship team, come and lead us as we close today.